Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, calling to you live this week from the wonderfully beautiful Tampa, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I think my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, will be along to join us at some point, but she is traveling today as I am. But I managed to pull over and stay stationary so we could get started on the air, and hopefully Rhonda can be along shortly to join us as well. But we have a great guest for you today, and I wish I could find my notes from Rhonda about who our guest is, other than the fact that you're from the Yin Project. I can't find who you are.
Oh, well, I can tell everybody who I am. That's fine. I've been talking to Rhonda. It's Rachel Jane Gruber here from the Yin Project.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yes, would you like
me to meet you, Rhonda has filled me in on some of the details about what you're up to, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you today. So rather than butcher what I remember from my conversation with Rhonda, why don't you do the honors of telling our guests a little about yourself?
I will. Yes, I'm founder and director of the Yin Project, which is a community of over 6,000 women now who are gathering together in order to connect more with their feminine energy, their personal presence, their vocal power, feminine leadership, all those sorts of things, so they can really step into being an inspiring example of a woman and a leader who is powerful and feminine. And we mainly work with people who have been on a personal and spiritual development path for many, many years and who want to go deeply into their own growth from that point, versus people who may be just starting to understand the law of attraction and that we're bigger than maybe what we have thought in the past. This is really for women who have been doing it for a long, long time.
Oh, wow. Rhonda's been telling me a little about the Yin Project, and I am really interested in looking into it a little bit more because it really sounds like a place that I should be, too. How did you get started with the Yin Project?
Well, I was working with Neil Donald Walsh many years ago, who's the Conversations with God author, who's sold many, many millions of copies of the Conversations with God series, which is a spiritual growth book or series of books, and was his director of education and putting on lots of trainings and seminars and leadership programs, mainly for the people that wanted to teach and work with this spiritual work that he was doing, and learned so much about the industry and, you know, what you have to do with when you're a big-time best-selling author and all that comes with that. And then really started, during that time, had a bubbling up of this feminine power that is, you know, talked about a lot these days, thankfully. And was starting to go, you know, I really want to create a community and then a lot of leadership programs and education programs for women who want to really step into their power but in a feminine way. And at the right time, it just sort of moved over. I'm still in contact with Neil and do a few things together with him and some other people, but pretty much 95% focused on the Yin Project and my own work. And so from that, we just birthed a lot of different things, we being myself and some other teachers that have been trained underneath me, and my dear husband, who is pretty much CEO of the Yin Project, who does a lot for us. And now we have got classes and trainings worldwide. We've got 14 trained teachers in the work that I created, which is called The Art of Feminine Presence, which is all around the personal presence and effortless magnetism that some women have and other women do not. And what is that? What is that, that why some women have a really effortless, magnetizing feminine presence? And we work with that because I found that in my experience as a speaker and a singer, as a singer full-time for many years and performer, that there's certain keys and certain practices that any woman can do, no matter what size, age, shape she is. These work very quickly to increase your level of presence inside and then what others pick up from you.
Oh, that's really interesting. And you know, you and I have a shared friend, I guess, with Neil Donald Walsh. Neil is very active in an organization that I'm a co-founder of, 10 Million Clicks for Peace, and does a lot of work with us on a project that we call the Messengers of Change program. He'll be involved in an event we're doing at the end of June, beginning of July in San Francisco, and I'm looking forward to, hopefully, he's still trying to make it happen, to get there in person, but I'm hoping to finally meet him in person because he's been someone that I have really enjoyed all of his work and have followed him for many, many years. Conversations with God is just an incredible book, an incredible story, and he's a very incredible man, so I'm very familiar with his work.
Good.
So tell me a little bit more about how women can be both feminine and powerful, and what does that really take?
It's a really loaded question, and I like it for that reason, because there has been a tradition in the workplace and in business and in us women getting forward in the world, where we've taken on a lot more masculine role, a lot more masculine qualities or yang qualities. I like to think of it more as yin and yang, because we all have both yin and yang. We all have masculine and feminine qualities within us. But for me to sort of, you know, do what I've been doing and get ahead, I've cultivated a lot of my masculine qualities, which is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing for any woman to cultivate that, so she has more focus and direction and gets things done, and the vision and the sort of forward moving energy that the masculine gives us. But what I've seen in that plight to sort of be equal with men and make things happen and get ahead, which is sort of totally overriding everything in this country, at least, that drive, that desire, that we've lost touch with more of the yin qualities, the feminine qualities of the internal dynamic, the leaning back and sort of seeing what comes to us, the receptive, the emotional versus just always logical. And there's a lot of different sort of ways to look at it. But the way that I like taking women into the process of what is their feminine essence is actually to strip away a lot of things, because even if we put labels on what the feminine is, we're putting a label on it. And we're at a time where we can't really do that anymore. It's about finding where the feminine essence lies within us, in our body, in the way we move, in the way we feel. And only then, when we can start to access the feminine essence, which is in our body because it's our sexuality, the feminine versus the masculine, only then when we feel it coming from within us, then can we say, oh, this is what it feels like, this is what it looks like, versus me telling you, this is what the feminine looks like, you know, because that's what it looks like for me, that's what it feels like for me, but my feminine essence is going to feel and look different to yours, Gina, you know, because we are different, but there are some similar qualities in it, which is that the receptive, the more allowing, the more flexibility, the more deeply rooted in our pelvis and our hips, where the feminine energy tends to move, versus the masculine energy being a lot more in our chest and our arms and sort of that directed movement. So I find that, you know, once we go into our real power, which comes from, you know, internally, like really getting in touch with, oh, I'm okay right now, right here, just being real with myself. I don't have to put on any smile. I don't have to say anything particular to make someone happy. I don't have to get something done in my business to be totally loved and fulfilled and present right now. And until we can get really good at that, it's going to be hard to touch into our feminine.
Wow. And, you know, I've had a very interesting background since I was in my teenage years. Early on, I got my associate's degree before I graduated from high school. And for some reason, the jobs that I was attracted to, probably well into my 30s, were always jobs that were much more masculine. While I was going through high school and also doing my college at the same time, I had started out as a receptionist at a car dealership. The mechanics went on strike. We had to get car repairs done. So they brought a bunch of us out to the garage and taught us how to do things like oil changes and tune-ups and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I became a grease monkey at like 16. When I got out of high school and went on to actually start working, I had jobs like I used to sell power tools for Ryobi and Makita, which are industrial power tools. I was at the National Hardware Show every single year, and I was probably, other than the models, the only woman on the floor, literally. Then I sold big wheel bearings for really big applications like the gigantic front-end loaders and cranes. They use these bearings that you could actually stand inside. Again, I was the only woman in the business. And then went on to become an attorney, a litigator, and again, in my law firm, I was one of two women out of 150 attorneys. So it's an unusual background, and my friends were almost all guys. I had very few women friends, but I still consider myself very feminine, and my nurturing, serving side shows through a lot, even when I'm in a male role, if that makes sense.
Very much.
And I see many of my students really struggle with this from time to time because society as a whole really, in many ways, does women a disservice, I think. You're taught at a very young age that women's place is in the home, not necessarily in the workforce. And if you are going to go in the workforce, you can't be a nurturer. You need to be a survivor and compete with the guys. So a lot of my students really have a difficult time getting in touch with their feminine side and allowing that to be a good thing instead of a bad thing. Because from early on in their lives, they thought that it was a bad thing, not a good thing, and that it would be their downfall, not their strength. And I think it's really quite the opposite, and I'm so thrilled about hearing more about the Yin Project because there aren't enough opportunities that women can go into that really show them that our feminine side is good, not bad, and that we really can find ways to use it in bigger ways. And
yes,
Rhonda
absolutely.
Has finally joined us as well. Rachel, hello, Rhonda.
Well, hi there. Yes, I was flying, and so I can't phone from the air, but I am on the ground now and traveling back to my home.
Well, I had explained that, and I knew you'd get here as soon as you could.
Yes, absolutely. And I heard the last few minutes of what you've been talking about, and it's just great. And I had the opportunity to hear Rachel and her husband with one of the calls for the Spiritual Authors Challenge, I believe it was, either that or the Messengers, one or the other of the Robert Evans crew of authors. And it was just really impressed with the level of integration and, just that level of complete authenticity, which, of course, Gina, you and I both definitely encourage people and insist that people bring into their business. And I love that level, and I love hearing you speak in the way that you serve, Rachel. So I'm very, very excited to have you here.
Thank you.
So I see on the site that you have How Feminine Are You? Try our online quiz and find out. How does it help someone to really get in touch with their feminine side?
Say that last question again, sorry.
How does it help a woman to really get in touch with her feminine side? Is this just going to help her in her personal relationships like dating and marriage, or is this going to help her in bigger ways?
I think in all ways. You know, you bringing it up, the dating and the relationships and our intimate relationships probably are one of the biggest ways, because when we have this balance, and we have these masculine and feminine energies within us, and I'll talk for myself, I'll pull out my masculine energy at certain points of the day when I'm trying to get something done really quickly, or, you know, making things happen in my business, and then I'll pull out a lot of my feminine when I go into a coaching call or a class around the feminine. I've got to be in that, and that nurturing side, the softer, more quiet, slow down side, and then I'll be up again in my masculine. So I'm always moving in and out of them. But in an intimate relationship, what creates attraction, what creates the passion and the interest over time, you know, not just the first three dates, is the polarity between the masculine and the feminine. It's creating a difference. So, and the difference is what attracts us, like the magnets. You know, you put two, the same poles of a magnet together, they actually start repelling. They push back. Where if you put the opposite poles of the magnet, they attract in. And so, if we look at our marriage or our significant other or the person that you're dating right now, or interested in, if you're not dating right now, it's that polarity that is in that relationship and that can be played out in that relationship. It can be investigated and embodied in that relationship, and it can't really be in any other relationship unless you're interested in dating lots of people and, you know, multi-relationships, which I personally am not. So I've got my husband, Dada Gruber, who is an amazing man, and I get to play out my feminine in relationship to his masculine that I don't get to do with any other relationship. So if I can in that one really come back into my feminine and support and inspire him into his masculine, we have a rich, passionate, sexy, juicy, loving relationship, which we do and we continue to after many, many years of being together. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I heard the two of you on that call that you did for the Messenger authors, and I was impressed with the interplay between the two of you. There is such a sense of you both supporting each other, and I don't see that it's not like one of you is all feminine or all masculine or either, whatever, but it's just that really great sense of here you are, you're like fitting in each other's grooves and just working so seamlessly and beautifully together. And knowing that you've been together, we can definitely feel that depth of relationship coming through on the calls.
Thank you. Thank you. And you bring up an important point, is the we've got both, you know. Dada's got a really strong feminine side, you know, really nurturing. He's an amazing coach. He teaches presentation skills, but it's still similar to my work. It's like supporting people to really be who they want to be. And I've got a lot of masculine, and he'll totally attest to that. But when we get out of our work environment, like last night, and we're winding down and we're just talking and going to bed, I want to be fully in my feminine at that time. And if I'm not really, really knowing what that is and where that feels in my body and how does that relate to him energetically, then I'm just going to stay in my mode of where I've been all day, which is masculine, feminine, masculine, 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 feminine. You know, so I'm definitely not saying to the ladies out there to not cultivate your masculine. You want to cultivate your masculine. But most do it, like you were saying, Gina, do it, and then they forget about the feminine. And that's where I come in, is to help them. We go, we can't forget about the feminine, because not even just in intimate relationships, but in my relationships with other men, no matter how masculine I become, I can't meet or beat, in quotes, a man who is fully in his masculine. I just never am, because that's so strong. That's who he is. That's like his power, like his essence. But if I really go into my feminine power and meet him in there, I'm an equal to him. And I've had to learn how to do that and be that. But now that I can, I see how men in their full-on masculine relate to me in my full-on feminine. And it gets me ahead. It's not just like, oh, you know, here I am in my feminine. It really creates a lot of respect, a lot of desire for them to serve me and help me in a, not in a manipulative way. And so it really goes into all relationships. And the final big, big reason where I think it really helps a woman in the rest of her life is her magnetism. Is her personal presence. When a woman is in her feminine, her personal presence is magnified, and then she gets the attention that she wants, whether it's just simply walking into a room or walking into a networking or social event or, you know, having a conversation with somebody. If it's just masculine and she's in that place and she's using that with her voice and her body, and it's like it's not very enticing. So imagine those listening, and for you, Rhonda and Gina, like really embodying that and being able to take that anywhere, and the sort of attention that you get when it's grounded, sensual, non-manipulative beauty in your feminine. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So for someone who's not used to getting in touch with that and using it in the way that you do, where do they get started to get in touch with it and really learn to use it?
Yes. The first place that a woman, I believe, that a woman must get in touch with intimately is her lower body. Everything below the waist. And I see that we have a split in our culture of upper body and lower body. You know, upper body helps us. You know, we're heart-centered. That's what spirituality is all about. We want to be compassionate, so we're all in our hearts, especially women like the two of you and the women I work with, very heart-directed. And going towards the spiritual, we want to be spiritual. We want to connect to God or Source or whatever that is. And we want to think, we need to be thinking and strategically about our, you know, relationships and who we're going to do business with. And it's all this upper body energy and very little lower body energy, which the lower body is all about sexuality. It's about the lower aspects of life, you know, and it's really disregarded. So when I start working with a woman, we get in touch with the center point of her pelvis and then her whole pelvic bowl. And what's going on there? Because most women, even conscious women, hardly feel anything down there for many minutes of the day. And I don't know if you girls can relate to it, even if I'm talking. Like, how often in the day are you meditating on your pelvis and all your sexual organs and what's going on there versus your heart and your head and your go? And why I do that is because the feminine energy, the energetic of that, starts in the pelvis. It starts in our creative center, and it starts to move around our hips, down our legs, in our lower belly. And so if we're not comfortable with feeling that and then embodying that, it's going to be really hard. I can give you so many other practices or words about the feminine, and you're never going to get there because you're not embodied in that lower half. So a simple exercise
really
is just
interesting, Rachel.
Yeah.
I actually have had 9 back surgeries. My first back surgery gave me an incurable infection in my lower spine that eventually went throughout my whole body. Please pick him up, Bill. And because of that, I don't have feeling from the hips down. I move by feeling the ground in my hips as opposed to in my legs or feet, because I can't feel the ground in my feet. And for me to even get in touch with that area of my body can be very challenging because there's really no sensation in it to start with.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, and you are not alone, because I've actually had a lot of back trouble. I was, you know, almost crippled for a couple of years with back stuff, and I've come out of
right.
that, and I can feel a lot more. But, you know, the women who have had, I've worked with women who have had hysterectomies, you know, hysterectomy and double mastectomy all at the one time. I mean, massive trauma that we don't even realize is hugely traumatic to
it
our
is.
Bodies and cesareans and, you know, all of that. So there are a lot of women who don't have much feeling there because of what's physically and energetically happened, you know, a surgery or you know, a trauma. But you'll be surprised,
Rachel?
Most women who don't can't feel much there either.
Wow.
Part of it, Rachel, wouldn't that also be have a lot to do with body image and how, you know, the stomach and hips and how the image issues that women have would tend to shut off even thinking about that area very much, right?
Absolutely. That's a great point. I never thought of it in that way. Yes, yes. And, you know, we want to keep our bellies in, you know. Like, what do we do when we walk? We're, like, trying to pull our belly and suck everything up, you know, so it doesn't hang out. But when we really come down into that center point of our womb space, which is what I call it, that lower, very lower belly, about 3 inches below the navel and inside the body, and really
mm-hmm.
starting to rest in there, you know, our belly drops. It softens. It relaxes. And that's anti-culture as well. You know, pull it in. Don't let it drop out. Don't relax
mm-hmm.
down there, whatever you do. And, yeah, that goes to not feeling that. And then, of course, everything to do with our sexuality, you know, and thinking and meditating on our vagina and our uterus and our ovaries. And, like, what on earth would you do that for? It's all about the heart.
Yeah.
It's all about the heart. And it isn't. And this is what Eastern culture knows way more about than what's even come through with our, you know, last spiritual evolution of the last, you know, 5-10 years, which is speeding up. But everything there is about Dantien, Hara, Donjon, Manipura. It's this center, which is the center of your pelvic area. That's where they
right.
go first. All martial artists know this. All yogis who know what they're talking about, really doing
right.
it from that. It's all about that first, and then match, you know, meeting that with the heart, connecting that with the heart. So a lot of our practices in the Art of Feminine Presence and with the Yin Project is helping women connect. And so not just being in their womb space, whether they have a womb or not, it's still that energetic, creative power space, with their hearts. And how?
Right.
Why do we do that? Because if we're just connected to our hearts, we're disconnected from our sexuality, usually don't have very passionate relationships, or we jump down into our sexuality and create craziness in our relationships because it's all driven by who we're sexually attracted to and not connected to our hearts. And so it's like, how do we get those communication happening again, which is very few women I've ever met have that strong connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a great book that my doctor gave me that's called Full Body Presence, The Healing, and it's called The Healing from the Core. The author's name is Suzanne Scurlock-Durana, and the link to it is fggg.com/full body. And
ooh.
A lot of the techniques in it are energetic techniques that are designed to help you become full in your body again. And it really focuses on getting in touch with the lower half more than the upper half, because you're usually more full on top than on the bottom. And
right.
she talks about getting a balance between the two. It's one of the most powerful books that I've ever read. Rhonda, that's where my being a tree exercise came from, is from the book Full
oh,
Body
wow.
Presence. Incredible
great.
Book, and I bet you would really enjoy it, because it's a lot of what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
And what's really nice is
yes.
it includes a CD of guided relaxations that guide you through this process that I call being a tree, that's about filling energetically from the bottom up. And
right.
the meditations in it are just amazing.
Beautiful. Yeah, it sounds very similar to the work, you know, at least the basis of the work that we do. Great, I will check that out.
Yeah, I love it. So, Rhonda, what do you want to know from Rachel today? Rhonda?
I'm sure she's there.
I don't know. Let me see if I can see her. Oh, she just dropped out. I bet she's still in the airport.
Oh, right. And she might be on a cell phone.
Well, I'll watch for her to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me how the Yin Project can help our listeners in getting in touch with the lower parts of their body.
Yeah, well, I do a lot around meditations also, you know, that guided visualizations and things like that. And my book is coming out soon. So I would, first of all, go to theyimproject.com and register in for some of our free resources. There's quite a few. I've got lots of videos on how to do this that are all free on the site. And it's not just around the lower body, but that feminine energy, the personal presence, and the spiritual path of the feminine, because I really believe that as women, we have a slightly different path to men, just because we're different, you know. At our core level, our spiritual level, there's no difference. But being born in as a woman, there's certain things that are in our blind spot that we don't see as clearly, or that are bigger fears for us that men don't have to deal with as much. And so when we work on the spiritual growth and where you are with that and what's going to take you to the next level, which is usually not more books, you know, as far as, you know, theory, but like what you were saying, like the meditations, going into the practice is where it's at. There's a lot around the spiritual development of women too. So if you go to theyinproject.com and look at, there's three or four different ways to get free resources and all of that. That would be a great place to start. And then when the book comes out in the next few weeks, Powerful and Feminine, How to Increase Your Magnetic Presence and Attract the Attention You Want, then you'll be able to get a copy of that, and there'll be a CD that you can get to go with that. So that would be probably the best place to start. And then I have lots of different programs. I'm traveling at the second half of this year all over the world. We'll be in England, Australia, the US, doing our Art of Feminine Presence weekend intensives, and I'm running a six-month feminine spirituality and leadership program that is online. It can be done from anywhere in the world, talking to me and the other ladies over the phone. And that's for women who really want to step into leadership in a feminine way, that may be doing some spiritual work, coaches, energetic healers, people that have just been interested in this for a long time.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And I've already been over there myself and signed up for stuff. My goodness, you have a wealth of information on TheYinProject.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank
Rhonda,
you.
While you were gone, I was asking, since you invited Rachel to join us today, I'm sure there are some specific things that you want to know from Rachel today.
Well, what's funny is I heard you say, Rhonda, what do you want to know? Right then, my cell phone went beep, 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 beep. Well, okay, I'm sure you know I wasn't just ditching and avoiding you, but yes, and one of the areas that I wanted to have you speak some more about is, of course, with our show, we have people who are beginning a business, and that can seem like a lot of doing, a lot of that type of, you know, upper energy. And so I really wanted you to speak to the leadership aspect, because I see you as not only teaching, of course, because of the seminars you've mentioned, but having very strong leadership skills and truly bringing that strength. And I'm thinking of, I mean, even just at the seminar I was at a couple of days ago, they let people come up to the mic and ask questions. So I always do things like that. At this point, I actually just took over the seminar room for a minute. But what was funny is I connected to that core energy, not just, you know, not just the heart, but really into the core before saying anything. And people came up and said, wow, you have such an amazing presence. And I can't believe how you did that. And I had, you know, five figures worth of joint ventures that came out of about 2 minutes. So And it was from that. So I'd love for you to speak to the leadership and how can someone take and draw on that feminine power that you talked about and bring that into leadership in a way that helps them build relationships and build their business.
Yeah, great, great. Well, the first I could, you know, there's 100 things I could say, but the first thing that really emerges from within me when you talk, Rhonda, is the beingness. You know, we've heard this word. It's not about what you're doing, but who
right.
you're being that attracts people in. And if you're going to be a leader, that attractive pull has to be strong because we are so done with overbearing, over-dominating leaders, and we don't really want to be a part of that anymore. So it's exactly what you shared. People were just coming to you and going, I want to know who you are and what you're about and the
right.
business that came out of that. So I would invite everyone who's listening or listening to the recording afterwards to really sink into yourself right now and ask, what are the main qualities that I want to be when I'm up in front of people? I mean, there's qualities you want to be when you're on the phone and doing your work and, you know, at events. But when you are up in front of people and you have an opportunity to be the leader, what are the beingness statements that I really want to be, that may be a little different to mine and different to Gina's and Rhonda's, that and we might have some similarities, and maybe I can ask the two of you in a moment, like what words come up, and to really ask, like, what would I move like if I was to be, let's say a word was welcoming, right, or inviting. Like, I want to really be a leader who's welcoming to people or inviting that energy. And then I would ask, how does a person who is welcoming walk? How does a person who's welcoming use their voice and talk? How does a person who's welcoming stand? And, I mean, this may seem like real simple things, but we don't think about it. And what your energy is giving off is everything. And what your energy is giving off often comes from the way that you're moving, meaning physically moving, like walking, talking, moving your arms, gesturing, standing, but also
right.
the way your energy inside is moving, meaning is
right.
it moving or are you just like in your head?
Right, right.
So do
yeah.
you have either the two of you any words that come up when you want to be a leader and like maybe before you went up you to that microphone you wanted to be, fill in the blank.
My focus statement is I am in service of the moment. And so it's being that presence of being present to what's happening and what needs to happen and what needs to come out.
Great.
And that, for me, has a location in the core, not in the heart or not in the head.
Right. Great. So just being present is one. And so then I would, you know, if I was working with other people, just go, okay, and then building on that, like expanding that into, it's almost like when people talk about leadership and business, the brand, you know, what is your brand? And your brand is essentially your personality and your beingness. Then put into colors and words, but it still comes back to who you are. If you're a service-based entrepreneur or you know, a small business person.
Right.
And so then I would go, okay, so there's present. I want to be present. What else is there that's going to be different to me? What energies or beingness that you want to be that might be different to what I choose? And start to build on that, and then you might have, you know, for me it's present, authentic, confident, feminine, healthy, you know, healthy meaning like vibrant, good, you know, in my body,
right.
and spiritually aware.
Right.
And so I'm always like in those. So that would be one thing. And then the other thing, going back to your question, not to get too far off your track, but like in leadership, really focusing on the relationships, which is what your whole show is all about, you know, relationships are absolutely key. And to connect with the relationships that you want, not that are going to get you further, and this is just the way I do it, it's very anti a lot of JV people, and, you know, is like, you need to find and spend time on the relationships that you want to be in versus the big name. There are some big names that I know just from my experience, what we were talking about with Neil and a lot of his friends and people that go in that circles, that I would never ask to joint venture with me, even though it would probably double an intake of my business overnight. And that's a hard call sometimes, isn't it?
It is.
It's a hard call. But where I'm, what I'm doing is I'm in it for the long haul. So I would recommend if anyone's in their business for the long haul, like creating a great community behind you, I'm going to only joint venture with people that I would want to support and I would stand behind, that I've participated in, that I've read their book. I'm just, you know, again, it's an everyday decision for me where people say, yeah, I'll promote you and you promote me, and I just don't feel like it would just be for the money. It would only be for the money, and I'm not in it for the money. And I really think that, I take that back. I am in it for the money. I'm in it for both, and so I'm always looking at both of those things. Is this alignment with the person that I want to be, and are they? And is this great for the bottom line? And building those two, and the abundance thinking that there are plenty of people out in the world that I can joint venture with who are so resonant with me, who I would love, who I would just totally adore to work with.
Well, and I like to say that a little bit differently, because what I know is that if I can go out and really be of service and add value in someone else's life, as long as I have really been strategic in terms of setting things up in the beginning in a way that by serving, there are things that can make me money. As I move forward, all I need to focus on is really serving and being of value, and I no longer need to focus on the money, because the money really does follow if you've done it that way. And it feels better to me, because I really am so much more comfortable in a serving role than I am in a selling role. Selling to me uses a masculine side that I just don't like to tap into. Serving is much more natural, that it just comes that way. So I really like to combine the serving and the value, because you can serve in ways that aren't valuable to other people. You might like what you're doing, but they don't get anything out of it. And
exactly.
In anything that I'm doing, whether I'm building joint ventures, whether I'm creating a product, anything I'm doing, I'm always looking at how I can leverage it. So can I leverage this relationship to build relationships with other people? Can I leverage the content of a teleconference to create a new product? Where, number one, am I serving? Number two, am I being of value? Number three, how does leverage play into this so that I can work smarter, not harder, and get bigger results with less effort?
Yeah, I think your point about the value to others is really key, because I know a lot of women who are really serving people very, very well, and they're not making money. It's not following. I know them, and it's not about selling for them. And so, you know, getting like, what is of value to other people, and how to communicate that, you know, how to really get that across. Because sometimes it is hugely valuable to other people, but they're just not articulating it in a way, and it can get very difficult. And I'm not a huge lover of selling either, but I do think that we're right now in that place where serving is the selling. You know, the training, the serving, the giving away free, amazing, high-quality things, which is what I'm always trying to do. So then people just self-select. You know, that's what's happening in my business right now, is the more free, amazing stuff that I can put out there, by the end of the month or whatever, I have this amount of phone calls saying, what else do you have? You know, and
yeah.
I don't have to go
right.
out and try and drum up business. They've found me through my value.
Yeah.
It's what Evan Pagan calls moving the free line. And it is so true. It's not about giving one free chapter of your book and then selling them the rest. For most people, one free chapter of the book is just that. It's one free chapter of the book. It's not a high-level overview of the whole book. It's
right.
just a piece of the book. That's
right.
not of value to most people. You're clearly selling, not serving, when you're giving away a free chapter of your book. You're much better
right.
off if you really want to create
right.
value for someone to give them an overview of the whole book. And use that to then show them how they can get the rest of the book to really give them even more. And
right.
when you do it that way and you really look at moving the free line, don't give away stuff with the value of free. Give away stuff that people truly would expect to spend money to get, making them go, holy cow, if I just got all this stuff for free, I wonder how much more I'm going to get when I spend some money. And they
right.
will come find you to find out what else they can get, even if it means spending money.
Absolutely. That's my experience.
I so agree with
right.
that. So agree with that. So tell me a little bit more about the book you mentioned.
Yeah, I am. That's really the biggest thing on my mind at the moment is...
I thought so.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating because the book is done and it's being printed and I'll have them in my hot little hands in a couple of weeks or less.
Mm-hmm.
But we're right in the time frame of marketing, like what is the marketing plan and how to do that. But essentially the book is a combination of 35 practices that I have learned and practiced and created from my experience as a singer and performer to inspirational speaker and then trainer in women's development, spirituality, and all of that. 35 practices of how to increase your magnetism and your personal presence and feminine energy. And I talk about other things like the five biggest mistakes that strong, independent women make in relationships with men and give some really great understanding around how we guard our hearts, how we guard our vulnerability and our, you know, sweetness and how to connect our sexuality with our spirituality and those things that we were talking about before, connecting both parts of the body. But
right.
essentially, yeah, it's very like a workshop in a book almost, you know, talking about
right.
these
sounds
things.
Like-
but, yeah, going through it.
And when will the book
be
out?
The book will be out at the start of June, so what are we at? The start of May at this time. I'm going to be doing some fun pre-orders and giving some free copies away and things like that in May. So if anyone wants to make sure they're on that list to get a free copy or to look at what the great deals are, if you want to order a couple, there'll be lots of free gifts and things that go with that. You can go to theyinproject.com and sign up for any freebie there. You'll be on my email list there when the book comes out.
Do you happen to have a blog?
Yes, I do, but it's not really used a whole lot, but there's some great articles on that. It's at theyinblog.com. But we are developing a whole brand new site for the Art of Feminine Presence work, which is the 44 practices I've created and a subtle body movement meditation that is phenomenal in connecting women to their feminine creative center, their sexuality, their sensuality, their feminine energy, their presence, all of that. And it's branded as the Art of Feminine Presence. And in that site, we're going to have a huge, you know, that'll be our main blog. And that's the work that anyone can do. I highly recommend anyone going to theartoffemininepresence.com. It's a page on our Yin site. And you can look and see if there is any teachers in your area. I've got teachers in Canada, US, Australia. At the end of the year, there'll be some in the UK and Europe. a few different communities here in the U.S., obviously, and they're low cost. They're weekly classes that are phenomenal. I'm having amazing success and changes in the women that are coming to the classes here in Fort Collins and Denver, which is where I'm from, and I know that it's very powerful work. So check that out, and it's a small group of women, eight in a class, because it's quite intimate and deep, and it's hard to explain, but go to the artoffemininepresence.com and you'll be able to find out more about that.
I will definitely do that. Hold on one second, Rhonda. In the last couple of weeks, Rhonda and I have had a number of students in my coaching program who have become Amazon best-selling authors thanks to Rhonda and what she has taught them about getting their books into Kindle. And at the same time, many of them use the blogging system that I teach and are driving traffic using their blogs as well, and even getting their blogs into Kindle. And if Rhonda and I can be of service to you as you get ready to get this book out there and help you turn it into a bestseller, please just reach out. I'd be happy to help you. I'm sure Rhonda would as well.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing the whole Amazon.
Would encourage you to not have a blog on a separate site. If the main site is theyinproject.com, I would get the blog set up right on theyinproject.com in the publicly available info that I can see about the Yin Project site. You have a Google page rank of 2, and Google has only indexed 40 pages on that site, which is going to mean that for people who are out searching for solutions to problems that you could be helping them to solve, they're not necessarily going to find you in Google or Yahoo or the search engines very often. When you put the blog right on that site, every piece of the site, not just the blog, but all the other pages as well, immediately get elevated in the search results because of the blog, causing people to find all of the pages of the website much more often. It can skyrocket traffic, and more than anything, it really improves conversions. So if you want some help on looking at how to get a blog on the Yin Project or any of your other sites so you can make that happen in bigger ways, just let us know.
Great, thank you. Yes, I'm changing the Yin site into the WordPress.org whole platform and do all that, so I'm right with you, but I will definitely reach out.
Fabulous.
I'm sure there'll be questions.
Good, yes. And
that's a really good thing to do.
I was going to offer to serve you with that, and in addition, you know, of course, I'm very excited about your book. I would love to review that on Topical Storytelling, and of course, post an Amazon review for you as well. But people do come to me to, you know, to see the book reviews that come out, and I also have a new author challenge that's starting very soon. So I expect traffic to be going pretty crazy very soon.
Great.
Well, I would be happy
to do that.
And help you with that so that you then can get those great results. And I agree with Gina about the blog. That was my first thought, too, is you have things splattered around, and it's great to unify them and bring them all into the core so that they can do their work much more effectively.
Right, right. Thank you.
So, Rhonda, what else did you want to have Rachel share with us today? We've got about 5 minutes before the show's ending.
Right. So, yeah, I'm glad we've got at least a couple of minutes left. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to ask you about on behalf of our listeners is really to say what one of the most influential people in your life has been and what it was that they contributed to you.
Whew. Wow. There's faces flying past me in my mind right now. The one who's coming up, who I just spoke to yesterday, was a dear, dear friend, very wise man, spiritual mentor and teacher mentor of mine. His name is Tej Steiner, TEJSTEINER, and you can find him at heartcirclenetwork.com. And he created the Heart Circle format, and it's a very simple process, and I won't go into it, but essentially he taught me that and was a huge mentor to me in how to run and hold space for groups and how to hold space for a lot of people at one time and energetically connect into what's really going on in that group. And I don't know how many times I've, you know, because I'm teaching all the time, whether it's a group of eight here in town or holding space for 40 or 50 women at a time, that I can track that room and pinpoint exactly what's going on. That just blows people's mind and my mind. It's blowing my mind because I'm like, how the did I know that? And he really taught me that of how to be present when the chips are on the table. You've got 40 people staring at you and something major has just come up, and how to be with that and hold that amount of energy. So I've got a lot of respect for him, and amazing coach and spiritual teacher. And I've had a lot of those very wise people in my life that I think not only has made me the woman I am, but really the teacher and the facilitator that I am. So definitely highly recommend anyone to go to heartcirclenetwork.com, and just seeing a photo of Tej, you just go, oh my God, wow. He's really cool. And it's very much too about relationships is maybe why his face is coming up, because your work is so about relationships and groups and coming together and creating community, and not creating community in the way that we've done it. You know, okay, I'll do this for you and you do this for me and blah, 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 and trades and all of that. But like the community that you really want to be present with, that you want to create a community, not so your business just so your business unfolds, so you awaken together. Like
wow.
You and Gina, you know, it's like, are you on this phone call to get your business going more forward, to create more, you know, sort of language on their websites or whatever? You know, no, I mean, yes, it's part of it, but you really start to see things shift when you realize that Gina and Rhonda and I are together on this call to awaken each other.
Mm.
And that's what
that's
community
awesome.
Is all about. And that's Tej's work. You know, I really, really got to give him huge credit for that.
Well, that's fantastic. We are out of time, ladies. Rachel, it has been wonderful having you here today. And I definitely want to encourage our listeners to go to theyinproject.com and go sign up for all of those goodies that Rachel has over there. We will put them in the show notes, too, so you can get there a little bit easier, as well as the Yin blog and the other websites that we've talked about today. Rhonda, any last thoughts before we wrap it up? Tell me we didn't lose Rhonda.
She might have dropped us again.
Oh, no, here she is. There you are. There you are, Rhonda.
Yep.
I found you.
I did drop off for a bit, and I'm back. So, yes, I wanted to thank you, Rachel, so kindly. It's been a delight. I've looked forward to having you for quite a while, excuse me, since we arranged this some months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much, and I look forward to keeping in contact and continuing to connect with you. And the resources you have on theyinproject.com are fabulous, so I hope people will check those out.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation. This has been fun.
Thank
Great.
You again, Rachel. And
You're
Rhonda
welcome.
And I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101. See you all then.
Bye.
Bye.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.